Hello and welcome back to the Photo Booth Institute podcast. We are on episode 4, which means that I've made it a whole month. Even though today's episode is a day late, I do apologize. We made it. So today I'm just going to share a little bit about myself and my education, as well as my background in the photo booth industry, how I got here, and just have you guys get to know me a little bit better. So my name is Anna Vietti. I was born and raised in Redding, California. I was a very young mom. I had my first child at the young age of 18. I got married at 18. I had 4 children in my marriage. I was a military wife for 8 years. And during that time, I earned my associate's degree in business management. In 2007, my husband and I separated, and our divorce was finalized in 2010. I was left in financial ruin from my divorce, so I spent a lot of time over the next few years trying to land a job and take care of my kids and heal from pretty traumatic marriage. So it took me a while to get on my feet, but I'm grateful to my photo booth business, which I started in 2012. On May 12th, I went to my cousin's wedding down here in the Bay Area in the wine country, which is where I live now. And I went to her wedding. Now, this cousin specifically is from Chicago, and she moved to San Francisco not too long before her wedding. But instead of flying back and having her wedding in Chicago with all of her family and friends there, she invited all of her friends and family from Chicago out to California, and we had a blast. And she had a photo booth at her wedding, and I drug all of my family members to that photo booth. I'll post a few pictures right now while I'm talking. Her father, my Uncle Bob, I grabbed my dad, and I grabbed even my stepmom, my sister, my cousins, my noni, my kids call her Bee's noni, which is grandmother in Italian. And we just had a blast. We made so many memories, and the entire night I was just fixated on this photo booth. The picture quality was incredible, and I just had so much fun with the props, and it was just so much fun. And on my way back home the next day, May 13th, it was almost as if it was surreal. It was like the idea was planted into my head while I'm driving up I-5 to go back home to Redding. I'm just like, oh my God, I could so do this for a living. I could so have a photo booth business. This is my jam. And so, long story short, a month later, my first photo booth arrived at my doorstep. And then within weeks, I had that booth set up at every event that I could get it to. I've been going ever since. And with 12 years in the business, I can tell you something that I know to be true is every year, the event industry changes. It fluctuates. Every month is different. Every single year, you might have 0 events in January 1 year, and then the next year, you've got 20. So going back to when I first started, I contacted everybody that I knew. I was hired by my church. I was hired by people for weddings. I specifically remember my first price was $149 an hour. And that was a lot for people back then, especially because they didn't know what the photo booth was. Now, Redding is kind of it's like a small city. It's like 150,000 people in the whole county, adults 18 and over. But it's a town that's about 2.5 hour drive north of Sacramento, and that's the biggest city closest to Redding. So Redding tends to be behind the times a little bit, so they don't really have access to a lot like we do here in the Bay Area. So moving forward, I hustled for the next 2 years, and I remember raising my prices. I started in May 2012, and I raised my prices the next year. Like, I worked for 6 months and was like, I'm going up to $199 an hour. And I started landing gigs and people were paying $199 an hour. And then the next year I went up to $250, you know, and so on and so forth. So the photo booth that I started out with was called an open air photobooth.com photo booth. And I'm not sure if he still sells them. But they were two big flight cases and they stacked up on top of each other. And the bottom case was like 75 pounds, maybe 60 pounds. And the top case was close to 45 pounds. So every time I went, I was lugging these two boxes around and men would always come up to me and be like, do you need help? And I'm like, no, I've got a system. Sorry. And it's like, I've already got the half of it in there anyway. So 2014, in that same vein of buying the open air photo booth, we used to have a Facebook group when we first started of the people that bought those, you know, photo booths. And so I met somebody in that group. She wanted to sell her photo booths. She didn't want to do them anymore. And instead of selling the photo booths, she wanted to sell me the business. And so I tried that. And well, unfortunately, and I'm just not going to talk about the details, is it fell through. Anyway, so I bought this business, and through this business in the Bay Area, I landed jobs with Google and YouTube and Kaiser Permanente. And I was doing brand activations back in 2014 for big companies in the Bay Area. And it was exhausting. So after about 2 years of avoiding leads from the Bay Area, because I was working full time, I worked at a nonprofit for domestic violence and sexual assault victims, and I would work the photo booth on the weekends. And so if I was working full time all week, and then I would drive after work on Friday to go down to the Bay Area, work an event, come back, I never really got any rest and I would get burnout. So that fizzled out around 2016 was the last event I worked under that business model. In 2015, my ex-husband decided to sue me again for custody, and we had to start that back in Oklahoma, which is where our divorce was. So eventually, because me and the boys have been living in California since 2008, they transferred the case to California. So then we had to go through it again in California. So long story short, I went through a custody battle, which didn't end for 5 years. It started in 2015 and didn't end until 2019. The court stuff itself was pretty quick, but there was appeals and things like that. So not to get into too personal things, I ended up with custody of the kids again. And yeah, so during those times, I struggled in my business. When you go through hard times, it's tough to want to serve other people and be there for them. But there was also times when I was going through my custody battle where I got a really cool gig and it took my mind off of all of that. And thankfully, I had a job at that point where I was working from home as a scheduler for financial wholesalers, which I learned a lot about finances and stocks and BlackRock funds. I learned a lot about BlackRock. In 2016, I was working from home. I was dealing with the custody battle. Even though my ex lived in Oklahoma, he was in California. So we were doing this back and forth custody thing, which was completely new to my kids. And so that was very painful. But like I said earlier, once in a while, there was an event that would pop up and take my mind off of the custody battle. And one of those events was the street dedication for Megan Rapinoe in, I think it was May of 2016. She came to Reading. Her and her twin came to Reading, which she's from Palisadro. If you know anything about the Reading area, there's a few little suburbs. To the south is Anderson. To the east is Palisadro. To the north is Shasta Lake, and to the west is Whiskeytown Lake, and that 299, I think it is, or 44, one of the two. It takes you all the way to Humboldt County, which is on the coast. So I actually grew up and graduated from Anderson, California, which is just south. But Megan Rapinoe graduated from Foothill, which is in Palisadro, California. And so she came back for a street dedication. And I got a call from the soccer field, the local soccer field, saying that she was doing a soccer camp for the local kids. And they were doing a street dedication. They were wondering if I would set up a photo booth the next day. And I showed up, and it was one of the coolest events I've ever done. We just went with it. So there was a line forever. And she must have taken photos for 4 hours. No exaggeration. And it was 4 photos per person, per session. So those kids got a lot of photos with Megan Rapinoe. I'll post one of mine with her while I'm speaking. But that was one of the coolest events. And I've done other things like Jason Aldean concert in Sacramento or Wheatland, which is a town outside of Sacramento. So yeah, just stuff like that. So let me think, where am I at now? That was like 2016. So around that time, I started working for a nonprofit called the Smart Business Resource Center, which I think is called the Smart Workforce Center or something like that. But that place, it's interesting. It's hard to explain. So there's a program called WIOA, which is WIOA. I forget what it stands for. I can look it up really quick. It stands for Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. So there's an actual act that I guess they just provide money to cultivate the workforce. So my job, to put it, to make it easier to explain, my job was to go to businesses and explain to them the programs that we offer. One of those programs at the time was if a business hired somebody who was enrolled in our program, we would pay them 50%, we would pay them back 50% of the wages. So these are tax dollars. They're through grant money. And it really is a way for businesses to funnel grant money back into their community. However, it is a government program, so it takes a lot of paperwork and a lot of sessions and a lot of time. So it's almost like getting on welfare. But hopefully they fix that program because it's a really awesome program. And that was my job. I went, I guess they call it cold calling, but I just walked into people's businesses and I talked to them. I actually developed a process to help me because there was not a structured process there. And so I developed a process where I would come into work. I'd look who was hiring. I'd send out an email to everybody who was hiring. And then I would grab my stuff, grab my folders and my marketing material, and I'd head out the door and I'd stop by all of these businesses and follow up. Many times I'd follow up with a phone call first, but then, you know, we had full rein to go and knock on these businesses' doors and talk to these owners and business managers. And I learned so much. I learned so much about business owners. And I mean, I can't even tell you what I learned. I learned about mindset. I learned about creative marketing. I gained confidence just by being able to stand in knowing what I had to offer and be able to explain it to people in a trustful way. You wouldn't think that giving money away would be so hard, but it could be. So yeah, during that time, I did the event, and then 2019, my mom passed away, right before the pandemic. She passed away in July, 7 days before her birthday, which really sent me down on the couch. You know, I had a really hard time running my business at that time. And then right after that, well, I started to pick myself up 6-7 months in. That first year though was really hard. And right when I was to hit my 40th birthday, which was March of 2020, 1 week before my 40th birthday, the world shut its lights out. So I think I had like 7 events that were in the process of being booked, which all got canceled. So I took the time after that to finish my degree. My major was psychology at the time, and I knew I had like 21 credits left to finish my degree. But I remembered somebody had called me and left a message, stated something to the fact of, you know, I think that there's a way that you can finish your degree much faster. Please give me a call. And so once the pandemic hit and I had the time, I gave them a call. It turns out I only needed one class to get my degree in interdisciplinary studies. Going back, I started my degree in fall of 2010. And so during the custody battles and during the time I'm working and having burnout, you know, I'm taking breaks from school. So It's not like I was in every semester. It was like I started in 2010, went till 2012, didn't take school or classes in 2013, and then went back and then burned out, etc. So finally, I'm able to get my degree and I'm still working at the Smart Workforce Center. However, I got a degree now and I finished that degree in 6 weeks. It was like an eight week course, but I finished it in six. And then I graduated a month later and I had my degree and I started applying for other places and I got a job offer that paid twice as much as I was making to be a community education specialist for Shasta County Health and Human Services during COVID. When I first started working there as temporary help, so I just kind of got in where I fit in. And I started off working in the nursing facilities department, where we were contacting the nursing facilities and letting them know what the new state protocol was, you know, for their patients and for visitors and all this stuff. And so we were offering them help with masks and gowns and gloves, all that stuff. And then I was asked to be in charge of the call center. And while I was in charge of the call center, I applied for a position in the communications department. Given my history with the photo booth and creative design, my education, which interdisciplinary studies is like a major that's split into three different areas of study. So those three areas I had to pick were psychology, obviously, because I had already taken so many of those classes. And then the other two were business and counseling. So I have a degree in psychology, business, and counseling. It's kind of a mixture. So I'm working in the Health and Human Services Communications Department, and I also still own my business, but I can't work it. And during that time, the county opened up a $5,000 grant through the COVID fund that they were getting. And I was able to apply for that grant. I was accepted to receive that grant. And I also was given a couple of more grants. I got one from the state of California, and I got another one from a local native tribe that really gave back to the community. And with that money, I bought podcast equipment, this microphone, the camera that you get to see me through, and I bought a recorder and all kinds of stuff. And so I decided to start a podcast during the pandemic, and it didn't go so well, but I learned a lot. I learned how to edit and I learned how podcasts work and all that stuff. But I just wasn't bought into the topic that I was discussing and not passionate about it like I am with photo booths. So I kept this equipment just knowing that I would use it eventually, but I didn't know that it would be for photo booth. I really didn't. Not until this last year. So while I was working at the Health and Human Services in the communications department, I did most of the interviews there. So if, say, the local news department needed an interview or wanted to ask questions about certain things in regards to COVID, they would come and I would give them my talking points, media training, and all that stuff, which I would love to do a podcast on media training for you guys. So look forward to that too. In 2021, I bought my first house by myself. I forgot to mention that back in like 2016, 2017, I got completely off of HUD and food stamps. I was able to take care of me and my four boys without any of that. So it was really a proud moment for me. So around 2021, I bought my first house on my 41st birthday. So the year after the pandemic hit, it was a beautiful house too. I continued to work my business over the next couple of years. However, I started to plan to move after my boys, the twins, graduated from high school last year. And I sold my house right after that. And I decided to sell everything that I own, all of my furniture. And I packed up this tiny little trailer. I'll show you a picture while I'm talking. I bought this trailer for $4,700. Completely renovated and, well, not completely renovated. And I bought a new mattress in it, and it's just my little spot. And my sister has some land here in Napa, so I parked my trailer on her property, and I have been living the simple life. My sister has cows. She's got chickens. Between the two of us, we have two dogs. One of hers is 2 years old. Mine is 9 years old, but acts like a 2 year old. But yeah, so I've been here in Napa and I took advantage of the fact that I moved so that I could take a break after selling my house, which was super stressful. I found myself, you know, laying in bed just with doubled over with knots, like just stressed. And so I just really felt like I needed to take some time to relax my body and my mind and really just focus on creating this new life that I have here in Napa. And in 2023, I decided to go to Photo Booth Expo for the first time. Now, knowing that I've been in this industry for 12 years, I want you to know that I was not connected to others in the photo booth industry. I was a top dog in my area, and I didn't know how I didn't have any mindset that my photo booth business could actually make money. I just looked at it as a side hustle, you know, that it would never make me enough money. But then I went to the Photo Booth Expo in 2023. I met Lap, I met Min, and I met Catalina. I met Ursula and Sammy and Danny Max and so many people. And these people are killing it in the industry. I mean, completely opened my eyes to what's possible and the different types of activations. I know I shared this with you guys on the last podcast, this, you know, lanyard that lights up. But then there's also this one that I did at PBX this year from SnapPic. You know, these kinds of activations we can really make money off of because you're just splashing brands all over the place. Putting VIP on there just makes it high value. And let me tell you, I wore this around PBX this year and people just grabbed it off of me. They just grabbed it and was like, what's this? And that's when I knew it was something special. So my mind was completely blown. Anyway, I remember talking to Catalina about it and saying, I feel like I have to do it. She was just like, do it. We need it. This industry needs it. So that's kind of where the vision for Photo Booth Institute began, but it really didn't come into fruition until around November of this year. So I moved to Napa in August, took about a month off, maybe two. And I went to a bunch of concerts that I haven't been able to go to because I was raising kids since I was a baby myself. Went on a few trips, but also I completely rebranded my website, completely rebranded my brand, and have moved. So yeah, I'm kind of in my beginning stages of this new business, even though it's a 12-year-old business. And that's what makes this so special is as somebody who's been through this before, the beginning steps of the business before, I feel like it's kind of cool that we can all, you know, go through the beginning stages together. That's pretty much everything that you need to know about me. However, if there's anything ever that you need to ask or you are curious about, I'm pretty much an open book. So feel free to reach out. And I am so grateful if you made it this far. Next week, I have a special guest for you. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag yet, but I will say it's my first female guest. So I hope you guys will join us next week. Yeah. I hope you guys have incredible events this weekend. Let me know down in the comments what your events are this weekend. If you're looking at this on YouTube, leave a link to your website below. I'd love to check it out, as well as your Instagram handles, your Facebook handles, and your TikToks. I want to connect with you guys. So thank you so much. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next week.